Two of the priests at the Dowling residence compete every day to fill out the word jumble you've seen in the paper. If you know the premise of the word jumble, it's basically just a bunch of letters out of order, and you have to make a word with them. And the thing with the jumble is that every letter counts for something and matters and has to be used. It means something. Not a letter goes to waste. And in a much more profound way, sacred scripture has the same true principle, that every single letter, every word, every book of the Bible forms the word of God. So nothing in scripture is there by mistake. All of it is willed by the Holy Spirit, who has inspired those who wrote the individual books of the Bible, which forms really a library, not just a book. And if we took out some of those books, if we took out lines from different books, then we'd be missing the full picture. And the full picture is what we want to see as Catholics, and so that's why we don't take books out of the Bible. We leave it as is, because we want the full picture, the fullness of the Christian faith. All of it is necessary. And as we look through this inspired library of books that we call the Bible, we realize that not only is every word important, but everything that Christ does is important. Every word he says, every action, every person he meets means something. There is no accident in the Bible. Everything he does teaches, and it's done for our instruction. So if we look at today's gospel, then, the story of the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes, the question is, what is the message in this simple miracle story? Well, we remember that in the gospel yesterday, John the Baptist was beheaded for speaking the truth, telling the truth to the government leaders of his time. He's murdered. And today, Jesus, having heard about the murder of John, is grieving. He's upset. And I think we can understand why he would be upset. He was very close to him. And he was fully human, so he experienced the full range of human emotions. So Jesus, being very human, is trying to be alone and grieve and put things together. And yet, in the midst of his great suffering, in the midst of Jesus' brokenness over this death, what happens? The people are pressing on, wanting more from him, wanting to speak to him and see him, wanting to be fed. And yet Jesus allows them to come near. He says, yes, bring them. Don't hinder them. Allow them to come to me, since they have left their towns, they've left civilization, they've left the roads they'd walked on and gone out into the desert to follow me. And what does Jesus do? But he feeds the 5,000 plus men, women, and children from 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He gives out of his poverty. When I was in college, I studied abroad in Madrid, Spain, and over spring break, we went to Rome. Me and my friends had booked a hotel, and through what I thought was an accident, horrible mistake, we booked a hotel that was completely outside the city walls. I was kind of annoyed. And the first day we woke up from just trying to get our bodies back in the right time zone. And we went outside and we're walking to the bus stop, because we had to take a bus to get to town. We were that far away. And as we pass a normal-looking hospital, we see what looks like a circus going on there, but it's a bunch of people. And not only people, but also media outlets, TV cameras, reporters, crushed into this parking lot of a hospital. It's an odd sight. You don't normally see that at hospitals, so I was wondering what was going on or what they were giving away for free that day. But as we watched, we saw a lot of people praying and singing in the parking lot, so we joined them. And right at noon, when the church bells in Rome rang from all over the place, Two of the blinds parted ways on the eighth floor at the top. And a frail man came to the window, and everyone started cheering, going crazy. They were elated, and he waved very weakly, very fatherly. And then he gave us his blessing, and that was Pope John Paul II, about 2 weeks before he died in 2005. John Paul II gave to his sons and daughters out of his poverty. And what a beautiful gift that is. And that's the beautiful truth that we see in our gospel today. This miracle of the multiplication of the loaves and fishes, of course, is a great act of charity of Christ. We can't deny that. That he feeds them physically because they're hungry. But it's more than just feeding them physically. This miracle is a figure or a foreshadowing, a preview of the Eucharist, of what he will do later in his life, in which Jesus himself will be given away as food. Jesus actually uses some of the same words and gestures in the miracle today that he uses when he institutes the Eucharist. Think about it. He looks up to his heavenly Father in heaven. He gives thanks. He takes the bread, offers it, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it away. Very similar thing happens in the Eucharist. The same order of events. Over the past 2,000 years, this has gone on. The Eucharist has continued to feed the multitude, billions of people around the world, and has never exhausted Jesus. He's never stopped giving himself away. 2 years ago, when I was a deacon in Council Bluffs, we had vacation Bible school, one of the funnest weeks of the summer. And we had about 300 kids in vacation Bible school, and at the end of the week, we had a mass, as so many of these vacation Bible schools do, to close it out. And I was a deacon at the time, and I really didn't know what I was doing, and I was setting up for mass, and I had forgotten to put out enough hosts. So Father consecrated just a couple of hosts, including the celebrant's host and a few others. And I assume there were more in the tabernacle. When it came time for the Lamb of God, when we bring out the hosts in reserve, realized that there were no hosts in there. And now we have 300 children who want to receive communion. We have parents there who have sent their kids to vacation Bible school, and only a few hosts. So what did we do? We broke the hosts into tiny pieces and still gave the Eucharist to each child. And as we got to the end, we were sweating because we were worried we were going to run out of hosts and have to tell children to go back to their pew. But I'm not kidding when I say that I gave the last fragment of host away to the last child in line. God always provides. And we cannot exhaust this great gift of the Eucharist. St. Thomas Aquinas said that whether one receives or 1,000 receive, each receives the same as the other. Jesus cannot be exhausted. This is how the miracle acquires the significance without losing any of its reality, he says. The point being, we cannot exhaust this great gift of the Eucharist. It goes on and on. And if Jesus is willing to give himself completely, fully to us in his brokenness and his poverty, as he did on the night before he died, and continues to do so, then my question this morning for myself and all of us here is, how do we react in time of trial and suffering? How do we treat others? Do we give ourselves away as a gift? Do we speak with people? Do we treat them as we ought? When we're down, when we're broken, when we're upset? Or in the midst of that trial and suffering, do we become unapproachable, ungrateful, rude, impatient? What do? When times are tough. Because How we act in that time of brokenness and that time of poverty internally says much about who we are as people. If we want to know who we are, look at ourselves when we're broken. Who do we turn to? Do we turn inward for strength or to Jesus Christ? Today's gospel is just one more reminder that God gives himself to us graciously, gratuitously, abundantly in the Eucharist. And what is our response to that? And it's to give ourselves away as self-gift as well. And when we do that, when we give ourselves completely away in our brokenness, in our poverty, then, and only then, are we acting like Christians.